Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mennonites Podcast. And I had honestly almost forgotten that I was going to be doing this because all the crazy, crazy madness of this week with the finally getting the announcement of the Zack Snyder's Justice League, the Snyder Cut during the Man of Steel watch party that he did on Vero on Wednesday. And I'm still coming down from that high of that day. It was so freaking awesome. But that's not what this is about. This podcast today is all about Boy Meets World. That's right, Boy Meets World. Because on May 5th, I believe, it was the 20th anniversary of the final episode of Boy Meets World. And I've talked about it a couple times on here, that Boy Meets World probably is my all-time favorite TV show. And, you know, thinking about it a lot over the last few months, especially since I got Disney Plus. I've rewatched all 7 seasons of Boy Meets World 3 times now, and just I loved it when it was originally on during the 90s. You know, I grew up watching it, and I've rewatched all the reruns when they used to have it on the Disney Channel, and they would have it on ABC Family. Watched it on streaming a couple of times before Disney Plus as well, so I love Boy Meets World, I do. And that's what this podcast today is going to be all about, the legacy of Boy Meets World and what it has meant to my life. So, you know, I'm not going to really speak necessarily on how I feel Boy Meets World has impacted other people around the world, and, you know, people of my generation, and all that, I'm speaking more from my personal experiences. Although I can't say, a lot of people from my generation loved Boy Meets World. You know, people around my age, you know, early 30s, you know, early to mid 30s, we loved Boy Meets World, you know, because for me personally, especially as I've gotten older and I'm able to appreciate a lot of the themes and stuff that happened on the show, like, it does have a lot of very valuable life lessons to get out of, you know, watching the show, because, you know, it was a family show, and, you know, yes, the first season, you know, after rewatching it a few times, the first season, well, still very much enjoyable. It's not exactly on the level of the later seasons that would come on, and that's because, as it is with most shows, the first season is usually a little off compared to the other seasons of a series, because, you know, this is just, they're testing things out, they're seeing what works so that they can progress, you know, later on if they get picked up for more seasons. You know, and that's how it used to be. You know, because nowadays, you know, with the way some of these networks are, if you're not a hit right out the gate, they cancel you after 2 episodes. So, yeah, Boy Meets World debuted in 1993, went on for 7 seasons until, like I said, May of 2000, 20 years ago. So, and I had actually just finished that final episode on May 5th, you know, this year, not realizing that it was exactly 20 years since it aired. And I felt, you know what, let's do a Boy Meets World episode on this podcast, because, you know, it felt very fitting. And, you know, so, of course, Boy Meets World is the story of Corey Matthews, who is played by Ben Savage, and then there's a Ryder Strong, who's Sean Hunter, Danielle Fishel, who is Topanga Lawrence, who, again, like many people of my age and generation, we all fell in love with Topanga Lawrence, especially in the later seasons, and just got a flash of lightning outside my window, so you might hear some thunder in a little bit, because it's raining pretty heavily right now. I'm recording this at 12:48 a.m. Thursday night, going into Friday, and it's been raining and storming on and off all day, and there's a little bit of thunder, not much, and it's probably going to be storming all weekend, so she'll see how this goes. But anyways, back to the topic at hand. William Daniels as Mr. George Feeney. Will Friedle, not Friedle, it's Friedle, as Eric Matthews, who, you know, in the later years would go on to become my absolute favorite character on the show, because, you know, he starts out as the cool older brother who, you know, just, you know, thinks he's all that, thinks he's hot shit, pretty much, you know. But then as the seasons progressed and the character progressed and, you know, character grew, he became the lovable idiot that we all know him to be now. And honestly, I think he probably preferred it that way. You know, because you could tell he had more fun with it. I mean, he wasn't a complete idiot. He still had his times where he was very serious and, you know, well thought out with some of the stuff he did. It's because, again, like, a lot of the stories on Boy Meets World are very relatable, no matter how old or young you are. Like, these are stories and life lessons that can translate, you know, no matter what generation or age range or gender identity, I guess, that you have. You know, these are things that everybody can relate to, you know, like, you know, first dates and first relationships, first breakups, death of a loved one, being cheated on, stress from school, and just losing friends, all kinds of stuff. And let me see, I got a thing on my phone. Yeah, it's just a little thing from IGN about the Tenet trailer. Anyways, it's just, and they tackled a lot of topics that even today, on today's world, might be considered taboo, and some of the stuff that they would say on the show might be considered, you know, politically incorrect, I guess. Like, one of the episodes from season one is when they were doing the play, I think it was Hamlet, I believe, or King Henry. It was one of the Shakespeare plays, and Corey was cast as the lead, and he didn't want to do it because he had to wear tights. And there was a moment where Topanga, that she brought in costumes because her dad sewed all the costumes together. And then Corey says something, and then Sean says, I don't mind her, her dad sews. Which can be interpreted as a homophobic remark. I don't interpret it that way, but I understand that it can be. And, you know, a line like that wouldn't fly in today's society. They would immediately shout out, cancel Boy Meets World because it's homophobic. You know, because, yeah, people can be a little overly sensitive to certain things, and I'm not, but, you know. Sorry, I keep getting all these notifications on my phone from Vero, especially. I've been a lot more active on Vero over the last 3 years, so. Alright, let me flip the screen down so I don't have to look. We also talked about, like, interracial relationships with Sean and Angela being, you know, that, you know, relationship, and, you know, stuff like best friends fighting over a woman, you know, Eric and Jack Hunter fighting over Rachel, who, you know, we've seen what's become of her in recent years, but, you know, these are all stories and situations and subjects that we can all relate to on whatever levels. And every time I watch the show, I feel two things. One, my mind travels back to that time in my life when I was, you know, enjoying the TGIF lineup and getting to watch these shows for the first time, and, you know, just enjoying every minute of it. And the other thing that comes to my mind is just wondering what I would do if, you know, those exact situations happened to me, how I would react. Would I react the same way that the characters did, or would I react differently? And, you know, that's hard to say, because I've always said, like, you know, it's easy to say what you would do in a situation until that situation actually presents itself. And, you know, I feel like, you know, watching some of the stuff on Boy Meets World, I don't think I would be able to react as, trying to think of the right term, as mildly responsibly as they did, if that term even makes any sense. Mildly responsible, I guess, would be a more grammatically correct way to say it. But, and, like, especially, like, the episodes of underage drinking with when Corey swept a bottle from the liquor cabinet when he went to a party, and then him and Sean got drunk. And which, I mean, anyone who really who knows me outside of this podcast, they know that I am straight edge. I don't drink. Not that I'm, you know, against it. It's just not for me. It's my personal, you know, thing. My personal choice to not do it. I've tried it. Not my thing. But just, you know, just thinking, like, how would I have handled such a situation if I was, you know, at that age, you know, being at, like, I guess they were high school seniors, so they would have been 17 at the time. And, you know, drinking because, you know, I got my heart broken by the woman I love. You know, so I don't know how I would, if I would handle it as well as, you know, quote unquote, well, as they did. You know, and just, I guess also within my older-ish age, you know, now I'm 33 years old, I'll be 34 in December, and, you know, now that I have a better understanding of the world that I live in, and I feel I am more mentally mature, that, you know, I'm able to appreciate more some of the more mature themes of the show, you know, like, you know, drinking and, you know, again, also like the, you know, two best friends fighting over a girl and, you know, domestic abuse and things of that nature. And cults. Yeah, cults. The episode with the center that Sean had joined because he felt lost and abandoned and had nobody in his life, and then he had nothing to live for, so he joined this cult place called the Center and was brainwashed into thinking what they wanted him to think, and, you know, it almost cost him his friendship with, you know, Mr. Turner but then that got all healed up when he, you know, so I say healed up, but, you know, he got into a motorcycle accident and almost killed him, and that, you know, essentially got Sean to, you know, knock some sense into him, and, yeah. And also stories, feelings of abandonment, because, you know, Sean was abandoned by his mother, and was sort of abandoned by his father when he ran off to, you know, search for the mother. And so Sean lived with the Matthews for a little bit, and then lived with Mr. Turner for a year. And also, I guess, like, you know, I've talked about it on my mental health episodes, how I get a little more emotional with certain things now. And then I did mention on the last one, I believe, about the episode when Chet Hunter dies. That, you know, now when I watch that episode, and especially seeing, even though he wasn't even on the show that many times, I could probably count, like, maybe 6 or 7 times that he actually appeared on the show up until that point. But it's just, you know, the development of the relationship between Sean and Chet, and then when Jack is introduced in season 5, and, you know, they, you know, explore that relationship of with Sean and Jack, and then Jack reacquainting with his birth father. And, you know, it's a very relatable situation, you know, having a half-brother from a different mom, and then come back into life trying to establish a relationship with you. It's, you know, that's not something I can relate to, but I know there are other people out there who can relate to that situation. And yes, there were some things throughout the run of the series that were a little ridiculous. They would have their moments of ridiculousness, like one of the episodes in season 7, where there's a time vortex in the closet of Corey and Topanga's apartment that travels into an alternate dimension of some kind. It's like, yeah, it's ridiculous, but, you know, it's fun. You know, it's television. Not everything is supposed to be taken seriously. Much like how I said on my Addams Family, you know, review earlier this week. And then other situations like when wrestlers would appear on there, like Big Van Vader, you know, rest in peace, Vader. He appeared on there multiple times as Frankie Sacchino's father, and it just made sense. And I'm because according to Danielle Fisher, when she was on the New Day podcast a couple weeks ago, she said that the writers of War Meets World were big wrestling fans, so they would try to incorporate elements of it into the show, which is what they did with Vader, and then having Mankind on there as well at the beginning on the I think it was the season premiere for season 7. I guess it would be episode 2. Yeah, episode 2. When it's Topanga and Angela move in with Rachel, and then Jack and Eric fight them for the apartment, and Mankind comes in as the referee of the fight. Which, again, so ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. Not realistic at all. But it was fun. And as a wrestling fan, I loved it. Especially being a big fan of Mick Foley, I loved it very much. And Vader, being on the got one of my favorite episodes from with the appearances of Vader was the Sweet 16 episode, where Corey and Sean are helping Frankie get closer with his father Vader, and Vader's fighting Jake the Snake Roberts for a match to fight Shawn Michaels for the WWF title at Madison Square Garden, and then Bruce Pritchard is there as Brother Love, which I love that as well, because I love Brother Love and I love Bruce Pritchard. And the first time we see Vader on the show is when Corey joins the wrestling team for John Adams High School, which, that's another thing too, my high school that I went to, legit, no bullshit, the high school I went to was John Adams High School in Queens, New York, and some of my classmates, the nickname that they gave me was Corey Matthews, and I love that. I love that. And it's just, again, loving the show so much, knowing that my high school nickname being Corey Matthews and the high school I went to being John Adams High School, just perfect. I do have curly hair, not quite as curly as Ben Savage's hair, and, I don't have a smoking hot girlfriend or wife like Topanga, but, maybe one day I will. But he joins the wrestling team, and then Joey the Rat, quote-unquote Joey the Rat, that's his nickname, that he wants to get on the wrestling team, and he wrestles Corey wins, and then they decide to have a rematch, Griff, played by Adam Scott, and even though he was on there twice, he was on there as an unnamed musician that was there for like 5 seconds, and then he came back again with a haircut as a guy named Griff, who was the replacement of Harley Kiner, because he got sent off to reform school, Griff, because apparently he has connections, he arranged to have a wrestling match with a crowd and a wrestling ring set up in the middle of the gymnasium with Robert Goulet as the ring announcer and Yasmine Bleeth as the celebrity guest as well. Again, none of it made any sense. Not realistic at all. Well, I guess maybe it could be if you have money. But, yeah. And Vader came in as Frankie's father and wrestled. It was him. It was Vader, Frankie, Joey against Corey and Eric, pretty much, and that was just fun to watch. And speaking of Harley Kiner, one of the other episodes I really loved is when Danielle Harris as TK, Teresa Kiner, she was on there, and I've talked about it before on my Halloween, Worst to Best podcast, that, when I saw Halloween 4 for the first time many, many years ago, I think I was 10, I fell in love with Danielle Harris back then, and then seeing her again on Boy Meets World as TK is her name, my love for her grew even more, and then what's her name, I can't remember what the girl's name was, the one that played Wendy, who was Corey's official first girlfriend on the show, and she was on there twice, but the last episode she was on is when they were officially boyfriend and girlfriend, and that one was just kind of sad too at the end of it, where when she decided to break up with Corey because she felt that the relationship was was being built on a lie and dishonesty, and it's just they had her displayed as being a very overwhelming girlfriend, and which it is, that is very relatable as well, but, you feel so sad for her at the end of it when she finds out that, Corey had essentially lied to her, for a little while, and, it's just, Yeah, like when I watched it again, you know, when I got Disney Plus and I watched that, got to that episode, it's just, yeah, it's the first time that I actually just felt so sad for her. And, see, man, he has to think, Corey got all these hot girlfriends, and, you know, look at me now, I got nothing. yeah, Corey, he had her, and he had TK, he had Topanga, he had the Lauren, the ski lodge girl that, you know, almost ended Corey and Topanga forever, you know, played by the always wonderful Linda Cardellini. See, I had a thought in my head just now, but then it just slipped out as soon as I started talking about Linda Cardellini. Whew. Yeah. Oh, yeah, now I remember. You know, it's because, speaking of Harley Kiner, because, the leather jacket that Sean would wear in the later seasons of Boy Meets World, that exact same jacket was also worn by Harley Kiner on a few episodes, and then was even worn by Eric a few times in season one. And I don't know, I never noticed that until rewatching it this most recent time. And it's just like, huh. You know, I guess they to save the money on the wardrobe budget, they just recycled that jacket for 7 years and ended up being Sean's jacket for the remaining 4 seasons of Boy Meets World. And you know, it's a great jacket too. You know, I wish I had a leather jacket like that. I have 2 of them sitting in my closet right now. The classic motorcycle jacket with the lapels, and then the one jacket that looks just like the one Dean Ambrose used to have. You know, well, the former Dean Ambrose used to have in WWE with the little two little pipe stripes going down the sleeves. But man, and speaking of Corey and Topanga, like, that's I probably shouldn't feel like this, but, like, that's a relationship that I've always aspired to have. Like, I want that kind of relationship that's, you know, worth fighting for like that. You know, that you would, you know, risk pretty much literally everything, you know, for that person. Because, you know, they broke up, like, how many, like, 4 times at least, and you know, at the end of season 3, Corey had, you know, went down to Disney World to win her back, and then, you know, them trying to restore her faith in love because her parents had gotten divorced, and he tried to get them back together, and just, you know, I mean, because I feel like that I would be, that I am that kind of person that would do everything for the one person that I love and can't live without. You know, I've had women in my life that I felt like, at least at the time, that I couldn't live without them. But, you know, in retrospect and looking at the overall, you know, overall picture of how I was during those relationships to where I am now, you know, I realize that, yeah, and if any of them are listening, sorry to say this, and not meaning to come off heartless or to hurt you, I am better off where I am now, not being in those relationships. Because I feel like I've grown much more as a human being, and I'm a better human being for it. But yeah, that's kind of getting somewhat getting off track. But just And then, like, the relationship that they all had with Mr. Feeny. And, like, the character of Mr. Feeny, one of the things that I remembered reading years ago, though, that William Daniels, that he said that he almost didn't take the part of Mr. Feeny because he was worried that they weren't going to respect the integrity of teachers with the show, and that he would only take the part if him being playing the teacher of Mr. Feeny was going to be treated in a respectable manner, which, of course, you know, that's what we got, because he was there for 8 years, had a couple of, you know, cameos on Girl Meets World as well, and which I would love to see them bring back Girl Meets World on Disney Plus, because I feel like, you know, they have the audience there, you know, because I've a lot of people that I've talked to have Disney Plus, have been watching Boy Meets World on a constant loop, just like I have. And they would love to see more of Girl Meets World as well. Like, maybe they can pick it up from where they left off on that last episode of season 3. You know, because it's been, well, I mean, it's been 3 years now. So they would be start either they would be college, there would be high school seniors, or there would be college freshmen if they picked it up in real time from now. Or they can pick it up. They can do where it's about Augie instead of Riley. I don't know. I just want to see more of it. And just. I feel like I'm not doing a good enough job talking about this, but just it's been a long and crazy and wild week. But just yeah, I love Boy Meets World so much, and just it is a lot of it is just it just means so much to me. Just when I watch it now, it's just like yes, that's where I learned that, you know, how to be that kind of person. That's where I, how that's how I why I am the, you know, who I am now and why I am the way I am now. And it's just, you know, and with the character Mr. Feeny, just, you know, that he cared so much about these children, these people, that he cared so much about Corey and Eric and Sean and Topanga, that they that he, you know, that last episode when he t tells them, you know, when he talks to them, you know, I'm trying to remember the quote. Let me Google it real quick. The Mr. Feeny quote from that final episode, Mr. Feeny. Yeah. Yeah. Right, I'm trying to find the whole quote, because it's just such a wonderful quote, and just something that I want to. Something, it's a quote that I try to live up to. Let me find it. I think I found it here. Let me see. All right, hurry up and load. Let me get to it. Scrolling down, scrolling down, scrolling down. Here we are. It says, yeah, believe in yourselves, dream, try, do good. See, yes, such a beautiful quote, right? That's something that is so ins that is an inspiring quote, that something and it should be instilled in all of us. Like, you know, again, to just, you know, to believe in ourselves, to dream, to try, and to do good. You know, not like, you know, do good as in, like, you know, do well at this, no, meaning do good things, you know, be good people. I love that. And this is and that's another this is another one where I get emotional and I cry, because it's just, you know, especially when Sean hugs him and he says, let me look right here, you know, because I'm looking at the same way. Yeah, it says, you never gave up on me, never once. I'm not gonna forget you. You're the best person I know. Oh fuck! See, even just reading, just reading it, I feel like I'm about to cry. God damn. Again, see, this is why I love this show. Because even just reading the lines, even just reading it, and just thinking about some of these episodes and these scenes and these moments, it gets that emotional reaction out of me. Because, like it resonates with me so much. And like the lessons that come from this show that I have kept with me for 20 years and will continue to keep with me for the rest of my life, that if I ever have children, I want to have them sit down and watch this show so that they can take in these life lessons as well. Hopefully, you know, they won't be stubborn little shits, and they'll enjoy it. But then also, like, the other things on here that's, like, that how, like, certain moments of the show that they kind of, like, acknowledge that it is a sh it, it, that it is a show. Like, Like, going back to the Sweet 16 episode, when Corey says that he promises to be at the Sweet 16, and he promises to be with Frankie at the wrestling match, that Sean, you know, shows him the episode of the Flintstones where, you know, Fred has to be at the Water Buffalo celebration and at Pebble's birthday, and talking about, like, you know, how to be at two places at once. And then Corey's like, yeah, but see, this is TV, you know, this is all condensed into, you know, 1 30-minute programming. And then Sean says, oh, trust me, it's the same thing. And the other one, like, here, like, on the last episode, when Eric's, I'm gonna read the whole thing, well, not the whole thing, but up to this point. So, of course, Eric says, I guess there's one thing left, tell us you love us, Mr. Feeney. Now look, if there's one thing I've taught you, is that there's a line between teacher and student that must never be crossed. And Eric again, tell us you love us, Mr. Feeney. I regard all my students equally. And then Sean, oh, you know, we're your favorites. And then Corey, come on, Feeney, you haven't even talked to another student for 7 years. See, because again, like, because they're acknowledging and making fun of, you know, the fact that it is a TV show, and that they, because they are the main characters, they're the only ones that get attention. You know, and I love when they do that. I mean, Saved by the Bell was that show where everything happened to only them, but they never acknowledged that it only happened to them. But they would make fun of stuff like that on Boy Meets World. Like, another one was when Angela's dad came in there and they had the ROTC program, and Corey says something about Mr. Feeney. He's like, oh, Mr. Feeney's my teacher. And it's like, in fact, he's been my teacher for every grade of my entire life. Which, you know, that was the running joke also for the show, that Mr. Feeney was their teacher every single year, no matter what school or what grade it was. And which is not realistic at all, again, but just, it was fun. And because Mr. Feeney is such a beloved character, if they did it without him, it wouldn't have been the same at all. And I'm trying to think of, like, in other moments where they, you know, kind of, like, you know, winking him, you know, wink at the audience, acknowledging that it's a TV show. Well, I guess it would be the episode when Eric decides to become an actor, and he goes to Hollywood, and they have the insider's version of Boy Meets World called Kid Gets Acquainted with Universe, and it's Ben Sandwich, and Schneider Wrong, when they start rehearsing the lines, it's Shane and Rory instead of Corey and Sean, it's just funny to me. And then there's also, like the other characters that they mention in the beginning, but you never hear from them again. Like in the first season, when Corey decides to change his hair from being curly, he wants to straighten it, that Sean has an older sister that we only hear about one time. And then never again. We never see her. We just hear about her on that one episode, and then she's gone. And Topanga, that she has a sister as well, and then she's gone after one episode and never heard from again. And another episode, I think it was in season 2? Or season 3. Because it was when Sean was living with Mr. Turner. That Corey, you know, has the film project, and there's the other guy in the trailer park that is Sean's half-brother, that we see him only in that one episode, and then he's gone, never to be seen again. It's like, yeah, two sisters and a brother, never to be heard from again after seeing them one time and hearing about them one time. So yeah, you know, if all of it is canon, if, you know, then Sean has two brothers and a sister, but only one brother counts. And then Topanga has a sister that nobody ever acknowledges after that one episode that she's there. And yeah. Another thing also I was just thinking about, because the real life wife of William Daniels, that she gets to play his wife on the show as well for the final two seasons. You know, I'm sure that was a lot of fun for them. Yeah, I mean, sure, beyond that, sure, that's a little detail that no one really cares about though, but I think that's nice. So, and just, and the struggles from when Cory and Topanga, get married, in the end season 7, and how they struggle with that with their first apartment together. That is another relatable thing for newlywed couples. I certainly went through that as well. Struggling with, having first place together, just us. How they asked Corey's parents for help, and the parents, the dad especially, refusing to help them, which some people might be irritated with that. Certain people that I know didn't like that part, but I understand it because they want them to learn to make it on their own, not always expect a handout, not always expect to be bailed out by somebody else, Which, that's a relatable thing from most parents as well. That most parents want their kids to not have to rely on them. They want the kids to try to survive on their own. It doesn't always happen that way, but I know a lot of parents that do feel that way. And I know my father would want, me and my brothers to survive on our own. That's what he would want. excuse me. Let me take a drink, sorry. Yeah, excuse me. But just because that's just the heart of Boy Meets World. It's about families, friendships, love, life, discovering who you are, discovering the impact you want to make on the world. The changes you want to make on the world, the legacy you want to leave on this world. That's how I see it, at least. And I guess that's a good, way to end this episode of the Mennonites podcast. I hope that you all enjoyed hearing me talk about Boy Meets World for the last, 37 minutes now. Or almost 37 minutes, and if you are a fan of Boy Meets World like I am, feel free to share your favorite memories of the show, in the, either by messaging me or contacting me on Twitter at IamFostitude, or Vero on Instagram at Fostitude, or leaving a comment below on the YouTube video. And which you can subscribe on YouTube, on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Castbox, Radio Public, Breaker, and if you want to help support the Mennonites podcast, you can donate $1 a month to my Patreon. Link will be in the description below this episode. If you want to purchase some nice merchandise that I have, you can check out the Mennonites Podcast store, where I have t-shirts, regular t-shirts, v-neck t-shirts, ringer t-shirts, baseball t-shirt, tank tops, hoodies, long sleeve shirts, face masks, notebooks, phone covers, pillows, wall art, tapestry, stickers, magnets, pins. Yeah, I got a lot of stuff in the store. Not every design has all of those items, but most of them do. They come in adult sizes, kid sizes, men, women designs. That link will be in the description, like I said. Check it out. Find a design that you like. Feel free to, to contribute by purchasing something. Or if you have an idea of a shirt that I could try to put in the store, you can let me know in my DMs. They're always open for anyone. Also, please check out my Into the People campaign, the Break the Stigma t-shirt that I have in honor of Mental Health Awareness Month. Let me see where we're currently sitting at with that one. Refresh the page. Come on. Hurry up and finish. We got 18, just over 18 days left on the campaign, sitting at $41 raised, 7 shirts sold. So if you would like to get one, that link will be in the description as well. All the money raised goes to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. It's a great cause, one that means so much and is very near and dear to my heart. I hope you'll contribute if you can, and if not, you know, at least, you know, share the link with on your social media so that others might contribute as well. And also, please feel free to check out my other Minutized podcast, you know, content, my worst to best rankings, my classic wrestling pay-per-views, my retro film reviews, my regular movie reviews, other podcast episodes. And thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you do. I truly and truly genuinely do. And I hope you all are continuing to stay safe and healthy. And if you're working, I hope you are working in safe conditions. And this has been the Manatized Podcast. I am Julian, and I will see you all next time. Bye-bye.